You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started,
resources,
as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. So this month, Todd Adkins.
What?
That's Todd, and my name is Daniel M. I need a thing.
You need a thing.
Well, if you listen to our other podcast,
like, hiya! Or something.
Hey, dude.
That's hiya? Bad. That's bad.
Hey, it's okay. I actually am.
I said,
hey,
yeah.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
I said, hey, yeah.
Hey, yo. No, but you know, I actually am a black belt, so I'm not offended.
All right.
Because I can actually do that.
Well,
no, but seriously, I am a black belt. Okay.
I had a class in college. One class, one semester.
Class,
yeah, we had to do like some physical thing or something. So I did. I chose that one.
All right. When my wife,
I achieved a yellow belt or something.
When my wife and I were on a mission trip, we had literally just met. We were in China on a mission trip, and we were learning English, doing all that stuff. And then there was this one time where we were meeting with this one college, and the students from the college, and it was kind of like a talent show. So my wife went up. I mean, we weren't even dating at that time. I just really liked her. Christina went up, and her talent was Tai Bo. You remember Tai Bo?
Yeah.
Like, she did Tai Bo in front of everyone. I was like, that is awesome. And then I went up and did one of my black belt patterns, and then she fell in love with me. And the rest of the history.
She's like, wow.
No, she didn't like me at that time either, but God had to do some intervening.
And by the way, I am aware. Please don't send any letters. Daniel and I make fun of each other all the time.
It's our love
and
language.
He does legitimately have a black belt, so that could be his call sign. I'm just saying.
But what I was going to say is, if you listen to our other podcast, the 5LQ, five leadership questions, I do often go, hello, hello.
Hello,
that,
hello.
That is what I do. A little regal.
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
The thing is, you can't see his hand when he does it.
I'm always drinking tea.
He's got tea in one hand, and there's kind of elbow, wrist, kind of a.
All right. So be sure to go to newchurches.com/courses.
Oh, yeah, we got to do a podcast.
Yeah, courses.
Courses, not horses.
No,
courses,
even though my voice is hoarse. It's because we are this month releasing a new course called Essential Campus Pastoring.
Ooh.
Man, I am stoked about this course.
It is, because there's so many people that are multi-site as proliferating.
Yes.
And even multi-site as plants are proliferating. So it's just a crazy time where it seems like there's not any rules. It's just, let's get more churches.
It really is. So instead of creating a campus pastor course based on a video model or another model or really going model specific, we looked at the competencies of a campus pastor.
Yeah.
So be sure to check that out at newchurches.com/courses.
I made my personal debut during this course.
Your personal debut.
My personal debut in the New Churches training side. I did a session.
Yeah, that's right.
On first 90 days.
You're right. We don't have you on any of our courses.
No. That's a travesty.
You so you have to. You have to
get this
purchase
one.
The course just to see Todd Adkins in action. All right. So today we are going to read a review before we get to our question. And it's from Alan
Action
Bryant
Adkins.
Smith. Action Adkins. Yeah. Alan Bryant Smith. And he gave us 5 stars on iTunes. The
there
title
you
was
go.
Invaluable Resources for Church Planters. And he said, thank you. Thank you, all caps locks, thank you, for making this podcast available, again, in caps locks, for free. My new rhythm is to listen to your latest episodes each week as I work out. Timely topics from veteran practitioners. I especially appreciate that you address the gamut from parachute planners to campus multi-site pastors. Keep up the creative work for Christ's kingdom. So thank you, Alan Bryant Smith. Be sure to send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or hit me up on Twitter, and we will send you some swag.
And thank you for using the word gamut, because it is grossly underused in our society.
So is grossly.
I don't even know if that's a word.
I think it's a word. Well, today's question is from Jesus Manuel from Quebec. So let's listen in.
Hi, my name is Jesus from Brossard, Quebec. I have a question about multiplication how important is cellular vision, you know, having cellular, having cell group in order to grow, in order to go more in multiplication in the church. I want to know because I just planted a church and I don't know how can I start to you know, have some family groups and some cell group. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, personally, I know I've connected with Jesus multiple times. We've sent him swag. We've tried to bless him as much as we could because I love Quebec, and Quebec is one of the most unreached places in North America. So, Jesus, thank you. And I know where Brossard is as well. So, Jesus, thank you for submitting that question and for doing kingdom work there. But the question is really about how important cell groups are. How important are cell groups in order to grow and multiply your church?
Well, I would say whether you're in Quebec or, and now, you know, now I'm self-conscious the way I say Quebec.
No, it's Quebec.
Quebec.
Yeah.
Or you're in Nashville where you could swing a dead cat in any direction and hit a church.
Yeah,
I mean, those are two very different environments. But I would say this, people are usually open to community before they're open to conversion. Mm-hmm. So having cell groups and people, and especially in an area that is, you know, pre-Christian, pre-churched, whatever terms you want to use, unchurched, people will come into your home before they'll come into your church, especially if it's around food.
Yeah.
So there's things like that, that it just makes cell groups so important. So for me as a multi-site guy, when I was going to be looking at where around the city are we going to put our next multi-site, I wanted to go to a place that we had a lot of small groups or cell groups because they were basically, sleeper cells.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just waiting to turn them on to, hey, we're going to put a campus in your backyard where you live, work, and play. You can now bring your Starbucks guy to church.
Wait, sleeper cells?
Sleeper cells? Do
you know sleeper cells? Isn't sleeper a term for like undercover double agents
Sleeper cells are people that are living normal lives that suddenly when they're given the order, they're like spies.
Okay,
when they're given
that's
the order, they go out and commit atrocities.
Okay, yes.
I like we're committing spy movies. Atrocities for Jesus. But what I'm saying is there's a really good book, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was about, it's like 10, 12 years old now, but it was about how Al-Qaeda built their network.
All right.
And a lot of it had to do with cells and sleeper cells, and that's how they worked.
That's awesome. All right.
But so, you can learn a lot. I mean, seriously, whether it's business or stuff like that, you have to learn how things like that work and spread and
completely.
How can I take something over here that is definitely not of the Lord?
Yeah. Well, it's like the book Team of Teams by General Stanley McChrystal. I mean, fantastic book.
It
really is a good book. And it's not a ministry book. It's not a church leadership book, but it's a great look into the changing times that we're in and the way that you need to alter the way that you look at leadership and structure. So especially for multi-site churches, it's definitely something that you should check out. But Todd, I'm going to disagree with you. Okay, I'm not going to fully disagree with you. I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you.
Okay, good. Because right, so if you fully disagree with me, we would have to fight. And I have a black belt.
You're a yellow belt. I'm a black belt.
Yes, but yeah, I'm from Kentucky.
And you are a lot bigger than me.
And I cheat. Yes. Yes. I'm a mountain person. Right. Sorry.
So I agree with you in that is fully, completely, totally true in some contexts. Right. There are other contexts in North America and around the world where actually a church building is someone would actually rather go to a church building than someone's home.
Okay.
All right. So oftentimes this is the case in large cities. And this is because in very large cities, people's houses are too small or their apartments are too small that you would feel uncomfortable. Right. So when I was in Korea, my wife and I went all out. And we rented a 1,000 square foot apartment.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we thought that was small. But anytime anyone from Korea or anyone's a Korean native or anyone living there came to our place, they were like, you live in a mansion. And this you have an oven? Like most people, I mean, a lot of people are going to live in 500 square foot apartments or less. It's like those little IKEA rooms where your bathroom is a toilet and the shower head is right beside and everything's tiled. Right, just because it's so small.
So everything goes in the drain?
Yeah, everything goes in. I mean, there's a toilet. There's
it's
a
just pipes. Yeah. It's pipes.
Right.
Sorry, so, I had to bust in a Seinfeld reference.
So in those instances, what, is that when Kramer was in the bathtub?
Yeah, I think he installs
a carburetor.
A garbage disposal. He puts a garbage disposal in the shower. He's all eating right, like salad.
The best show ever.
He's like, it's all pipes. It goes the same place.
All right. So when you look at large cities like that, a lot of people, they're going to be a little uncomfortable bringing you into their home. Secondly, if you look at a post-Christian environment like Quebec or like many areas of Europe, there's generations, not one generation, but generations that have now lived and have come to the point where they don't have this negative perception towards Christianity. Right? So if you have a church building, and actually the more churchy it looks, the more spiritual it is. And actually, the more they're going to want to engage and come to the church first. So when I was pastoring in Montreal, it was with Lorenzo Della Foresta. We were in Montreal, River's Edge Community Church, and we had bought a old Catholic cathedral.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I can't tell you the number of times we would have walk-ins during the week and people wanting prayer, wanting counsel, right? They've never stepped foot in a church before. But they saw the church and
they're like, I need something
was going on and they had to come in. Right.
Well, and, you know, and what the cathedrals were, you know, part of what they did was inspire the sense of awe
in
you.
Completely.
And so that's a
horrible to maintain. Like it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Insanely
I can't imagine.
Expensive. But yes, there were benefits. But but Jesus, that doesn't mean that you need to go buy a Catholic cathedral.
So, the first thing you need to do is find a cathedral for sale.
No. But let's get back to this question.
Okay.
All right. So he talked about cell groups. And
okay. I would say this in my defense, or let me add an addendum then.
Okay.
I've had success having book groups or clubs or whatever that meet in a pub or local cafe or whatever in a back room.
Yeah. Libraries often have great rooms.
Because that's a neutral place as well.
Yeah. So, but what I'd love to say, Jesus,
even a police station actually once they had a
that's room. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it's awesome. In DC. It was awesome.
That's cool. Now, what I'd love to encourage you in, Jesus, and this is a chapter from my upcoming book on discipleship pathway, and one of the chapters are called From Form to Function. Right. And when it comes to community, when it comes to discipleship, whether you do cell groups, small groups, mid-sized groups, or whatever other environment of a group that you have or want to do, the important thing is to move away from the form to move into the function. So look at the one another's in scripture. Look at the reason why we have community. Leslie Newbegin says he's an amazing missionary, missiologist. He's now passed away, but he said that the congregation is the hermeneutic of the gospel. So what that means is as you proclaim, as you preach the gospel, a healthy community today, right? Today, especially in Quebec and in so much of North America and around the world, today, the only way that this world will listen to you proclaim the gospel is when they see it lived out. And the way that you live out the gospel is a healthy community where you are serving one another, where you are living this alternate, living out the kingdom, right? And showing this world what that looks like. So that's the whole idea of the congregation being the hermeneutic of the gospel. So Jesus, there are a lot of books on cell groups, small groups. Be sure to look up mid-sized groups, mid-sized communities as well. I've written a lot about that on my blog, but that is going to be a great way for you to understand how to engage people into community, because that's the biggest thing. You want people to be in community and belong, and so that they can show this world who Christ is through the love that they have one another, through the unity that they have with one another. So thanks again for submitting the question. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and submit a question on newchurches.com, and we'd love to answer it. So we will catch you next time.